My name is Garland Robinson. You know, you can't speak very long to someone today until perhaps you come around to a religious topic or a religious context. And when that usually is brought up, something that they often say is, "Oh, well, you know, we're all headed for the same place." And of course, by that, they usually mean heaven. People everywhere, of one faith or another, they gather together and they worship and they sing and pray and participate in different activities. They're looking, they're thinking about going to heaven. But when you talk to them, as I said, people everywhere think, "Oh, you know, we're all headed to the same place." Well, I guess that answer is much easier than really having to reason out the matter. It's easier than just really getting in there and digging and accepting what the Bible says. Is it true? Are we all headed for the same place? That is, every religious person, are we all headed for heaven? Well, if that is true, then there are a number of things that we're going to have to accept. One, we're going to have to accept that God approves of religious division. All you've got to do is take the telephone book and look in the yellow pages under the church section, and you find all kinds of names and denominations and religious groups meeting here and there. They all teach different doctrines. They all believe different things. If it is true that we're all headed to heaven, and people out of all of these different groups are going to heaven, then we have to accept the fact that God approves of religious division. But yet, you notice the prayer of Jesus in John 17, verse 20 and 21, when he said, "I pray that these all be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they all may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." You see, the Lord recognized people in the world would not accept division, that it would be hurtful for people to recognize and see that people who are religious can't get along, can't make up their minds, cannot decide upon the same thing that God would have them to do. And so they recognize they want no part of that. And yet the Lord prayed that we all be one. He didn't pray that we all might be divided. He didn't pray. He's not thankful, as so many preachers are today, that there are so many denominations that people can pick and choose and just decide what suits them best and where they might like to do this or that in worship. So it's not the case that God approves of religious division. But if we believe that we're all headed to the same place, then we'll have to accept the acknowledgement that God approves of religious division. But then we'd also have to accept there are many ways to heaven, not just one. The Lord said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me," John 14 and verse 6. But if we're all headed to the same place, then we're going to have to accept there are so many ways to heaven, you can just pick and choose the one you want. If it is the case, if it is true that we're all headed to the same place, and that place is heaven, then we'd have to accept that man can choose his own way in serving God. But yet we read back in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, when Jeremiah had written, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." Man does not have the ability to guide, direct his own affairs and get to heaven. Man has no right to choose or to follow what he desires, what he thinks would be handy or helpful. It just doesn't work that way. We'd also have to accept that regardless of what man believes, regardless of what man practices, if he will be saved, if he is sincere, then again, that's not what the Bible teaches in that respect. Just as long as people are sincere, that's what so many say. If these points that we'd have to accept, that God accepts division, there are many ways to heaven, man can pick and choose the one he wants, and it doesn't make any difference what you believe, what you practice, what you do, as long as you're sincere, if that startles us, then we know that certainly those things cannot be true. And what we've got to do is go back and recheck, rethink. We got to go back and study the Bible again and see if it truly is the case. Does the Bible teach that we're all headed to the same place? Simply because the crowd is going that way. simply because the majority of people believe that and trust in that and feel that that's going to be appropriate and right with God doesn't make it so. But we find that in the scriptural sense, the majority has always been wrong. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 7 in verse 13 and 14, there is a broad and wide gate that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Simply because a lot of people believe a thing doesn't make it right. That simply because people repeat the same things over and over and over again, repetition, does not make a thing right. Simply because I long for a thing so intently, that does not make it true. No matter how sincere I might be, that you might be about a thing, that does not make it right either. Friend, God's will, God's word, is the standard by which we all will be judged. It doesn't matter what our feelings are. Our feelings can be deceiving. Our feelings can lead us astray and bring us around to the wrong direction. We don't want to follow that. We've got to follow God's word. So according to the Bible, we've got to go back and answer this question truthfully. Is it true that we're all headed to heaven? That regardless of what religion we are, regardless of how we identify ourselves, regardless of what we believe, what we teach, what we practice, is it true that we're all going to heaven? Well, let me mention a couple of things. One, it is true that we're all headed to judgment. Everyone living is headed to judgment. We will be judged. But it's not true that everyone is going to heaven. Now, that's not my opinion. That's not my interpretation. That is simply what Jesus taught. That's simply what the Bible says. But let's first look at the judgment. There is no exception. That point is taught in both the Old and the New Testament. Everyone that has ever lived, everyone living now, is all headed to judgment. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 9, we read a statement made here by God through the wise man Solomon. And it's kind of a sarcastic statement made to bring about the best effect. Notice this. He's as if he's speaking to a young man when he's told, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine own heart and in the sight of thine eyes." But here's the point. He said, if you do that, if you do what seems right unto you, that for all of these things God will bring thee into judgment. You know how parents sometimes do that. When we try to teach our children right, try to guide and lead them in the right direction, sometimes they have a little stubborn streak, a little rebellious there. And almost facetiously, we might kind of throw up our hands and say, "All right, go ahead and do that anyway, because you're going to do it." Well, it's almost as if God's saying that. "All right, go ahead, live like you want to. Do what you want. Whatever seems good to you, do it. Live it up." But I tell you this, you'll pay for it someday. There's going to be a judgment, and you will answer for what you've done in this world. We read in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 14, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Isn't that frightening to know that everything that I've done in my entire life, things I've even forgotten about, things I didn't even realize at the time were evil or wrong and have been long forgotten, God doesn't forget them. He will bring them again before Him in judgment. That's why everyone must obey the gospel, to have those things washed away in the precious blood of Christ. We read it, Matthew chapter 16, verse 26 and 27. "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall he reward every man according to his works." The word reward there means to render, to recompense, or to show a payment made. So if a man gains whatever he thinks that he needs to in this world, if he gains the whole world and loses his soul, he's lost it all. Paul was able to tell those on Mars Hill in Acts 17, verse 30 and 31, There was a time that God winked at ignorance, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. There's going to be a judgment, and everyone is headed toward it. We read in Romans 14 and verse 12, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. All classes of humanity will be at the judgment. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him, now notice this, before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Matthew 25, verse 31 and 32. We read about the same judgment in Matthew 13, verses 47 to 50. When we read, Again the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's because every knee shall bow. Romans 14, verse 12. In the book of Revelation, we read where John wrote, And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Friend, everyone is headed to the same place when that place is judgment. The millionaire and the pauper, the educated and non-educated, the young and the old, the Christian and the non-Christian, everyone will be there. Yes, we're all headed to judgment. The thought is staggering that everyone that's ever lived will be there. Every man, every woman, every child, whether religious or not religious, whether a believer or not a believer, whether they intend to or not, they'll all stand before judgment. For it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. We're all going to judgment, but we're not all going to heaven. Because the Lord said again, The way is broad and wide, and many there be which go in thereat. We'll have to wait to another lesson to look at the remainder of this question, and we'll talk about then that all people are not going to heaven. If we can assist you at the East End Church of Christ, we pray that you'd give us a call. We'd be glad to help you, to study the Bible with you, to help you in some good or spiritual way. That is our goal. That is our interest. My name is Garland Robinson.